Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we begin our five midweek Lenten services with a catechetical series of sermons each week, focusing on five very important emphases of the Bible, five teachings or areas of teachings that run throughout the Scriptures, that affect the whole Christian life and how we view all of Scripture, how we view the faith itself. The season of Lent is here for just that kind of thing, to review these most important teachings of Scripture, to embed them in our hearts, to engrave them there so that we understand them better and better each year. I'm sure you're all familiar with these five areas of teaching that we'll be talking about as Lutherans. But all five of them are areas that are so badly misunderstood, even among Christendom, outside of the Lutheran Church, that it will certainly do you good to review it again. Because the season of Lent really is to bring you back to your baptism, both in faith and to know the faith of your baptism. So, the five emphases that we'll be discussing together are original sin, justification by faith, the means of grace, vocation, and what we'll call the piety of the cross. Tonight we begin with original sin. Did you know that Lutherans don't have the same numbering of the Ten Commandments as the Reformed and most evangelicals do? They split our first commandment into two. You shall have no other gods, and you shall not make a graven image. We combine those. To make a graven image is to have another god. So therefore we combine it. And they combine what we have split apart into the ninth and tenth commandments. Theirs is simply, you shall not covet. We have a ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And then a tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his servant, maid, cattle, or anything that is his. And to be honest with you, that distinction between those last two commandments was never explained to me very well, even growing up. But as you read, why our Lutheran forefathers retained that historical enumeration of the commandments, it becomes very clear and helpful. Without getting into all the reasons, there's a reason why we split up the ninth and tenth commandments. The ninth commandment forbids an actual desire, a specific sinful desire for something that belongs to your neighbor, in this case, his house. The tenth forbids sinful desires in general, for all sorts of things. It's that broad sinful desire or longing, sometimes called concupiscence or original desire, which we include in our definition of original sin. And so the tenth commandment becomes the commandment that specifically addresses original sin. What is original sin? It's a disease and corruption of human nature, passed down from parents to children, all the way back to Adam and Eve. There are two parts to this corruption of our nature. It includes original desire, that broad sinful desire for things which God calls evil, and it includes the general slowness or sluggishness to desire that which God considers good. and righteous. In the beginning, God made man, both male and female, in his own image and likeness, it says back in Genesis. Now, people have gone crazy trying to figure out what the image of God could be, and they've come up with wild explanations of it. But if they would just listen to St. Paul in the New Testament, they wouldn't struggle so much. Paul writes, "You have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And having put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." True knowledge of God, true righteousness and holiness. That was the essence of the image of God in which he originally made Adam and Eve. Like a piece of paper, if you will. Clean and smooth, perfect rectangular edges. God's image. That's the image in which he made man. Smooth and straight, the same image, the same picture. Now when Adam and Eve sinned, they twisted that image and crumpled it up, as it were, so that what you're left with is something not smooth, not straight, and no longer able to be straightened, no longer able to be made smooth and perfect like it was before. No matter how much you stretch it, it's ruined. Still a piece of paper, but no longer the same as this one. It was the opposite of what God created in Adam and Eve. He created them to love what he loves, to shun what he hates. But now their image is twisted. They desire what God forbids, and they don't really desire very much the things which God loves. And their newborn sinful desires immediately lead or give birth to sinful actions. The actual taking of the forbidden fruit and eating it. The actual lust for one another in their nakedness, which they then realized. The actual hiding from God because their knowledge of him who is everywhere and can see all things was damaged and twisted. The actual refusal to confess their guilt when God confronted them. And the punishment for it was exactly the punishment that God had warned Adam and Eve about ahead of time, death, which was both temporal and eternal. A death sentence was passed down to all of Adam's children born of a man and a woman, because the twisted nature passes down like a genetic disease, except this disease is of the soul itself, causing all people to be born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, at enmity or at war with God, and blind to the things of God, as the New Testament describes. "Behold," writes King David, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." You were dead, Paul says, in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Again, he writes, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And again he writes, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now the result of original sin, the corruption of the heart, is what Jesus described in the second lesson tonight. From within, he said, from out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. The sin against the 10th commandment, original sin, original desire, is the wellspring of all other sins against all the other commandments, the contaminated wellspring of a contaminated human heart. This is why no one can ever do enough good to earn God's favor back. This is why no one has the ability to make a decision for Jesus or to believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him by my own reason or strength, as we confess in the second article of the Creed. This is why no one has a free will by nature in spiritual matters. This is why it isn't surprising at all to see so much violence, godlessness, and corruption in the world, because everyone's born with an incurably diseased heart. And just as you can't draw a cup of pure water out of a bucket of dirty water, so no one can produce even one pure and righteous work out of a person who is by nature sinful and unclean. And the proof of all this, as St. Paul wrote to the Romans in tonight's first lesson, is human death. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. And as we said on Sunday, the evolutionary theory would tell you that human death is a natural and necessary part of the evolutionary process. But according to the Bible, human death is not natural. It is the direct result of Adam's sin, a sinfulness that has been passed down and spread to all of us. St. Paul shows that from Adam onward, even before God gave His holy law on Mount Sinai at the time of Moses, in between He gave no command to mankind. And yet, what happened? Everyone died, as Paul points out. Death reigned during that entire time. Not because someone broke a specific law or a specific one of the Ten Commandments they weren't even given yet, but because of that sinfulness that passes down and then also manifests itself in deeds and actions and thoughts. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, Jesus said. It's not until we grasp just how depraved and doomed our entire race is that we can truly appreciate the need for a Savior. A Savior who was sinless. A Savior who was born not of a man and a woman, but of a woman only, by the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, so that He could be born without original sin, and so be capable of leading a sinless life, which none of us have ever been capable of. The remedy for original sin is nothing less than rebirth, being born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The gospel of Christ, the sinless God-man, calls all sinners to repentance and faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins. That same gospel comes to us and is applied to us individually for the remission of sins in the waters of holy baptism. Baptism is the remedy for original sin. But baptism doesn't erase original sin. It doesn't heal our corrupt nature so that it's no longer corrupt. What it does, it washes away sin in the sense of removing your guilt before God, sending your sins away from your legal record, like having your criminal record expunged by the court. Both the guilt of having a corrupt nature and the guilt for the crimes that flowed out of that nature. Faith in God's promise made to you in holy baptism is what keeps original sin and actual sin from condemning you. It's what makes you who are by nature sinful and unclean both sinless and clean in God's sight. Now, in the baptized, God has created a new man in His own image and likeness. A new man who dwells side by side with the corrupt man, with the sinful old man in every Christian. Now the two, the new and the old, are at war with each other and must be at war with each other. The new man has holy desires. The new man wants what God wants and shuns what God hates. The new man can actually do good works, not works that can save us, not works that can earn us some of God's favor, but works that are pleasing to God our Father. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, understand original sin. It's a main emphasis of the Bible and of the Lutheran faith, and so very poorly understood outside of our confession. It's the enemy within that rules every unbeliever and that threatens every believer. Know your enemy, but know also your Savior, Jesus Christ. He has given you now the victory over your enemy in the form of forgiveness. And He will one day give you the final victory over your flesh when He takes you from this world to the sinless life of heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.